Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young ball continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Hello and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online and part of the Blue Wire Network. You are not hearing our normal host, Justin Rowan, and instead his loyal co-host, Carter Rodriguez, who is taking over hosting duties while Justin gallivants around the Caribbean. I think he's in Mexico, actually. Who cares? It doesn't matter. This guy never does anything interesting on vacation. He either goes to swim up tiki bars or he comes to Cleveland, and there's very little in between. In his stead, we have a friend of the podcast, regular fill-in guest, Jeff Nomina. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm hoping the audio quality is okay from way deep down in my feelings here where I'm calling from.
It is not great, Bob. The Cavs have not played since Thursday. They traded for Andre Drummond. I think both of us were ready to come out and, you know, really dive into the acquisition and get to see it in practice for the first time. And the Cavs just took a big old dump on the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse floor as the Clippers, we started a recording early, but suffice it to say, the Clippers are up 40 points on the second half of a back-to-back, down two starters. So not great, Bob.
No, and like I'm assuming Andre Drummond tries a lot, but like it was not pretty there to start this game, and the Clippers were hitting everything. I don't know what to do. If you can add another decent player, like just like an honest to God NBA player, and still look this bad, I don't know what the next step is.
Yeah, it's dark, man. And this game has been, you know, in fairness to the Cavs, you know, the Clippers are a West power even without Kawhi and Beverly. You know, that's still a very, very formidable team with plenty of good players, but oof, it's like they didn't even show up, man. And it's just so on brand for this team to, like, there are, how many games do you think have you really been excited for this season? Three? Four?
Yeah,
where you're like, oh, I can't wait to watch. And this is one of them, and it is so on brand for this game to be completely over at the end of the first and then proceed to only get worse.
Yeah, it's not even like a game where you get down 20 and then there's like a run or two where you look good for a minute and you can talk yourself into, you know, oh, just, you know, start off bad, but, you know, they fought. Like there's been nothing.
The Cavs are outscored in the first quarter by 15 and proceeded to lose the second, third, and they're going to lose the fourth as well.
It's almost impressive.
Yeah, it is. Not a lot of resistance, let's just say that much.
I think one of my favorite parts of this game was the guy who started at center last game, Larry Nance, played some small forward tonight and was still giving up a height advantage to the starter for the Clippers. Like he's still an inch or two shorter than Paul George, right?
Yep. What the fuck?
Our starting center from last game. We played three centers and still were giving up a height advantage at almost every position.
Yeah, it was funny. A couple of people were like, oh, well, the Cavs are going to have great size advantage on teams. I'm like, will they? It is. Yeah, it's just a tough one to like stomach. It's always hard to like evaluate because you're just like, well, that sucked. I guess I hope that it gets better. You know, Drummond was, you know, a little out of sorts, which is fine. He hit two threes, which is actually more depressing than fun.
I thought he and Love, like if you forced me to come up with some positives, I thought he and Love had kind of like a fun two-man game going where they were creating some looks, just those two.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think, because there's just no value in discussing the game itself, I do think it's worth discussing, you know, conceptually what John Beilein could do if he, you know, can do anything.
As long as it's before halftime.
Yeah. And I think that the Love Drummond two-man game offensively makes a lot of sense. Drummond, on Drummond's first field goal of the game, Love caught the ball at the free throw line on a pick and pop, I believe. Drummond had sealed his man below. Kevin made a really easy entry pass, easy bucket. And those kind of plays should be there for these guys. Love's handle has gotten just good enough to get there. So is, and Drummond's handle is a little underrated historically as well. But yeah, it's that makes sense to me. I think that people who, there is a difference offensively between Drummond and Thompson. And I think that there is a world in which they could manufacture some good looks with that front court.
Oh yeah, for sure. And Love was getting some really open looks. Sexton even found Drummond earlier in the game, sealing his guy off down early. You know, they're definitely looking for him, which I think is even just good. Like, sometimes our young guards just need a guy that they have to look for whatever reason. It doesn't always work with Kevin, but just like having a guy that they have to think like, all right, I need to pass it. Like, sometimes even just that is valuable to them, to almost force their hand at it. So yeah, I think that they're going to find some decent looks. I think it's going to get better than this. This was clearly this is clearly about as bad as it's going to be. I'm not going to say the worst it's going to be, because the Cavs have proven me wrong time and time again. But this is going to be one of the worst it's going to be. So I expect it to look better than this down the road, but it's still hard. It's still hard to even talk about that after watching this.
Yeah, I'm honestly struggling here, man. I'm trying to be a good host.
Let me ask this.
Some good topics, and it's just nothing there.
Well, all right. So, you know, Drummond is clearly – I love Tristan Thompson. I always love Tristan Thompson. But I think it's fair to say Drummond's like a better player, right?
Yes.
And Kevin Love is not what he used to be. He's still a very legit NBA player, even, you know, a pretty decent one.
Yes.
Jetty is – I'm not a huge Jetty fan, but, I mean, he's, you know, he's got some stuff going on. What is it? Like, that's enough that they shouldn't be this bad, right?
I mean, the guards are, when Colin has a game like this, he's, I mean, absolutely worthless. And Darius has had maybe one good game in the past month.
Yeah, that flu, ever since they went on that road trip and he got the flu, he's been.
Yeah, it's just like it wiped him out and he never was able to bounce back.
I'm not pretending he was great before that, but there was.
Oh, but there was, like, there was about a 3-4 week stretch where he really looked. Was starting to look the part.
I didn't feel like he was as detrimental as, you know, Sexton during his rookie year. When Sexton, like, even when he was doing okay, you could kind of tell how he was dragging everything down just by being a young guard. I feel like Garland got out of the way more than that and didn't drag the whole team down quite as much. And now it just feels like he just kind of sucks the air out of it sometimes.
Well, I think the jumper is just gone for him at the moment. And, like, that's not saying it won't come back, because, you know, it should. But, like, right now, he can't shoot. And it's just really, really hurting them. When he can't shoot, I mean, he clanged it off the side of the backboard the other day.
And it's frustrating, because that's supposed to be, like, his defining trait, you know?
Yeah.
Like, without that, there's not a whole lot of other stuff. I mean, his passing is, I think, you know.
Have you ever seen that? There's an old tweet from Trill Withers. It's one of those, you know, all-timer tweets, but it's like, don't worry, she's going to text you back. She's just having a little sex right now.
Yes.
So I tweeted out, Darius Garland just needs to get a little better at scoring, and it's going to help. And that was the energy I wanted to provide.
And I still, like, I actually still kind of like his future. I think he's going to be okay. His passing is much better than I thought.
When does the panic start for you with Garland? Given that he's had, and if I'm putting on my Justin Rowan hat here, you say, listen, he's shown signs, and we've seen good play out of him. And my counter to him, to this fake Justin, would be like his best stretch was like kind of like around what you would have hoped from him, like just for like general positivity. It's not like he was ever putting up 30 points. So I don't know. What are you looking? What is the line of demarcation that we start going retro?
So I'm willing to give it till next year, through next year. I think the injuries and lack of ability to really do almost anything in the off season. I mean, that's a huge, the guy played what, 5 games? I get the number of games that he and Kyrie played mixed up because I kept trying to force that analogy so many times, but I think he played about 5 games in college before getting hurt and then rehabbed for pretty much right up until the season started. Right.
Yeah. And so, that's the thing is funny. Cause I don't think there's anything at this point that where his game could go that would affect my long-term prognostication of him. But I won't even give it till the middle of next season. I want to see him looking. I want him to like look noticeably better by next season, by the beginning of next season.
Yeah. The other thing I keep clutching on to is that, you know, Trae Young shot what 32% from 3 last year or something.
Yeah.
And I'm not pretending that he's anywhere near Trae Young. He's not the facilitator. He's not the creator. He doesn't do nearly as much, but
he's not the basketball player.
Other than the basketball skill, but purely in terms of, you know, kind of their defining skill being deep threes and step back threes and creating those looks, you know, maybe there is something to that just taking a long time to figure out against NBA length when you're not used to it. So I'm hoping that that's kind of the case and that he can figure that out. I mean, you asked when we give up. I'm not ready to give up, but I would say, you know, what I thought his ceiling could be goes down every game. Yeah, really? I don't have a whole lot of hope of what I came in thinking he could be a pretty high level scorer, and I don't think that's realistic anymore.
I don't know, man. It's all of the stuff with him is so weird that it's like I'm just not comfortable getting there yet. Where it's like, I mean, it seems unlikely, but you know, he seems so tired, man. Like,
yeah.
He just seems so worn down and like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the right space to judge him. I don't know. It sounds terribly excusatory. But like, literally, it's just like, I'm watching him not have legs on it.
I hope he plays summer league next year. Like, I hope he plays some,
if something he doesn't like play summer league, I'm going to throw a fucking fit.
It just seems like, nobody played last year. It seems like it's becoming less and less of a priority.
Yeah, but league-wide, in fairness.
Yeah. Not just with the Cavs. But I think that would be a good opportunity. Like, just go out and dominate some guys who are never going to be at this level. You know, just go get some confidence. Go get your shots up, because this is just really bad.
Yeah, it's just hard to watch right now. And I think it's going to get better for him. And obviously Sexton. Any good team defense is just a nightmare for Sexton right now. But they really are dragging the team down. But I will say, it's not like the other guys aren't making it hard. You know, the roster construction makes it hard. No wings. Jetty just gets the shit kicked out of him on defense every night. Like, having that backcourt with, like, conceptual Jetty with that backcourt is so helpful, but reality Jetty on defense is just, he just gets his ass kicked. I really wonder if, like, how much better Jetty's life would be as an NBA player if he just got to play the 2 full time.
You know, it's funny, everybody keeps making fun of the Cavs for having so many point guards, but I kind of wonder if they're also have too many 2s at this point as well. Like, because KPJ is probably a 2 long term, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Jetty's a 2. You know, Whittler's probably a 2. Not that
I think
put too much stock in him, but
yeah, does he exist? I don't know, man. I just think like Jetty really needs to be there at this point. And because he's not unathletic, he's just weak. And these forward, the Marcus Morrises of the world just plow through him. And he just doesn't have the strength. So you have that. And then you have Love, who is about as checked out as defensively as you'll see. And then Drummond, I will say this. I think Drummond's going to help this team defensively because he's the first center they've had since Mozgov that lets you play drop coverage in the pick and roll, where you just funnel guys in and say, take the mid-ranger if you want, but we're going to at least try to cut off some threes and rim attempts.
Yeah, and they haven't had that. Even when Henson was playing, it seemed to simplify things a little bit and just let guys get into a little bit more of a groove. I always liked Henson's minutes here.
Drop coverage. Yeah, I just think drop coverage is the easiest shit for dumb defenses because everyone kind of knows how to handle that. Plus, you don't really have to involve a third man. Like with Tristan, you kind of have to switch or hedge and then you have guys flying all over. Like the drop coverage is kind of built for no one to have to work that hard mentally. I mean,
let me tell you, that is what this team needs.
Yeah, they actually do. They can't figure, like they're already at a physical deficit. So to be at a mental one too is pretty untenable. So what would you do?
Would you change the starting lineup? You know, I think they just have a couple games, but it seems like if with Drummond you still can't do this, you gotta think about splitting up those cards.
I guess KPJ is still playing great, 8 of 14 tonight, and one of the nastiest dunks we've seen from a Cavalier in the post LeBron era. I don't know, but like the problem with this is, if you're splitting up the guards, you have to bench Garland.
Oh, yeah.
You can't.
And does that solve anything?
Like, you can't bench Sexton and leave Garland out there and not lose your locker room.
But at this point, is that not the best thing for Garland?
Probably. I think you're right. So if you just go Sexton, KBJ, Osman, Love, Drummond, at least you're a little bit bigger.
Well, what if you, to your point about Chetty being a three, what if you did Sexton, Osman, McKinney, Love, Drummond?
I'd be fine with it. McKinney is at least an adult who can defend, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm not high on McKinney. You know, that the contract's fine. It's poor and guaranteed years. You know,
he's cares? A good.
I don't think he's anything great, but he can just be where he's supposed to be and not get in the way.
He totally really functions important. As a starter on a bad team. I hesitate to say he's good as a starter on a bad team because I think that's putting more on him than he is fair. But, like, it's like you just don't want positions to be killing you if your team sucks. And McKinney rarely kills you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. Is maybe the answer is actually they just need to take their medicine, you know? Just keep getting their teeth kicked in, and maybe I'll get better next year with a rookie. I don't know.
And that is the downside of the Drummond trade is, assuming he opts in, you still don't get to bring in any fresh blood and anybody who makes sense and any wings who settle the roster at all. And then you're heading into the third year of a roster that just is purely based on assets and not really any sort of, you know, attempt at real roster construction.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, the roster is just, it's as sloppy as hell. And they don't really make a ton of sense together. And you know what else looks sloppy as hell? Wearing a button down untucked. They just look bad, Jeff, because they weren't really meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt, actually designed to be worn untucked, no matter your size, shape. Untucked shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. Here's the time for a classic chase down tangent, Jeff. We have wrinkle-free technology. We know this. Why doesn't every shirt and pant have it at this point?
This is a good point. This is the why isn't the whole plane made out of the black box kind of thing. Like, why? That's a good point.
like I'm sure there's a good reason, but if we got this material and we're only using it on some shirts, it when everyone's least favorite laundry related item is ironing.
Maybe there's a big market for wrinkles up there.
I don't know. It just feels like a missed opportunity. But with Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. Bulgy is my least favorite word in any copy we read. I just don't feel like anyone uses that word. And their website is so easy to use, they even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So, whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use Blue Wire. Use code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. Now, Jeff, as you may have heard at the front of the podcast, Bet Online is partnered with the Blue Wire Network, and thus Bet Online is partnered with the Chase Down Pod. So, on the back end of our first ad read, let's unveil our BetOnline.ag safe bet of the week. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. Jeff, if you had to give one safe bet for the week of Cavaliers basketball, what would it be?
My safe bet would be that Darius Garland makes a single three-pointer this week.
Well, it feels like months since he's made one. Turns out he's actually shooting okay this month. I didn't even notice. He was 3-for-7, 4-for-7, 2-for-5. Feels like he's 0-for-46.
I actually don't believe that. Like I feel like I've watched
I,
the game.
I feel like 0-for-7
in every game I've watched.
Well, in fairness to us, in the five games prior to that, he was 1-for-6, 3-for-9, 2-for-5, 0-for-2, 1-for-4. So you know, we're both dads. Maybe we just didn't have both our eyes on the ball watching Golden State, New York, and OKC games. But
God, we lost all those.
But yeah, sure, of course we did. But when we pitched this set, when I pitched this segment to you, and you mentioned this as your answer, I didn't bat an eye. So either we're dumb or he's just playing poorly. Most likely both. My safe bet will be that in the Cleveland real estate market, Andre Drummond will look to rent, not buy. I cannot imagine that this week is going to really make him think super long-term about his time in Cleveland. And as a direct result, he will be just, you know, perusing that rental market. When he goes to Zillow.com, it will not be for no Lakewood area homes. Let's just say that much.
Maybe the Cavs' whole plan here was to trade for Drummond and try to get a sign and trade or something this offseason. So they planned to just be as awful as possible once he got here, so we wouldn't just opt in and try to stay here. Maybe this is a light year situation.
Well, if there's anything I can believe about this Cavs front office is that they're playing four-dimensional chess. Jeff, was our betonline.ag safe bet of the week. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. Mr. Namina, I would like to talk about the coach. How long is he sticking around at this point? This seems about as brutal as it's going to get.
Well, here's the question. If it doesn't happen during the season, though, it's not going to happen in the offseason, right?
Are we sure?
I'm not saying it's not going to happen during the season. I could definitely see that.
I think he's surviving the year at this point.
Does he ask out at some point? I mean, does he just quit?
I think that an amicable divorce this summer seems particularly likely at this point.
It's like, just bad. And he is not helping the situation at all. Like, I will say that. Like,
he can't do
there's
it.
There's no talent here, but
he can't do it. He can't relate to these guys. He can't handle – it doesn't appear he can handle the workload. Every report you hear, both public and private, is how fatigued he looks. Like, and if you're if you're Beilein, like, what part of your brain isn't screaming, I don't have to put up with this shit? You know, I was at the top of my craft and now I'm some joke. And people make Bone Thugs and Harmony jokes whenever they hear my name now. That's my life now. I'm
surprised he hasn't, like, spoken up more or had more freakouts.
Well, I think he's just pretty defeated, man. And not only that, given the slug thug fiasco, he probably doesn't feel empowered just to freak out on his team because he's so desperate to try to win them back.
Yeah, that's a good question. Did that make it impossible for him to even really coach beyond this point?
Yeah. And you know what? I'll die on the hill. I do believe that he probably meant to say that. Everyone on planet Earth will tell you that is around this team that he seems tired and that he mixes up his words all the time. You know why? Because old people are always tired and they mess up their words all the time. It's a big part of being old.
Have you noticed how many times Sexton has said sluggish since that whole thing?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's like constant. It's constantly says, yeah, we came out, you know, we were just sluggish tonight. Or it's just, he says it constantly.
God damn, man. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you can't make that mistake when things are already bad. You know, it's like, maybe if things were going great and he made one mess up and then they won like six straight games. And then, you know, all is forgiven, all is forgotten. But like, I mean, that's why I even suggested in the last pod, I don't know if you listened to it, but I was like, maybe they could just go pick up Trey Burke just to get him like a buddy in the locker room.
Just somebody to talk to.
Like, he seems so adrift at sea, and I just can't imagine that it feels worth it to him at this point. I think that he will go. I think he, an amicable divorce where maybe he gives some of the money back for his five year deal. You know, Dan Gilbert, you know, eats some crow. I mean, every report indicates that this was an off-the-top-rope Dan Gilbert hire.
How great would it be to just hire one normal coach?
Dude, this was a thing. I was talking to fellow Eeyore David Zavac in a G-chat, and we were just saying, I said something about how much trouble the franchise seems to be in with the Beilein hire. And David said, and I quote, "What if we didn't do outside the box things? What if we did normal things?" All I want is to be normal.
Yeah, I just want to be like a normal bad franchise.
Like, you know, a normal bad franchise, like, just hires Jordy Fernandez off Denver's bench, and it's fine. It's not good, but it's fine. And then, and maybe they see the maybe a normal franchise sees 2 6-1 point guards who can't defend or play make at a particularly high level. And they say, maybe shouldn't start those guys together. Not the Cavs. The Cavs are so sure. You know, we have so much fun at Joe Lacob's expense for light years. But I think the Cavs are just as sure they're light years ahead too.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. I mean, like, we joke about the lottery stuff. They kind of thought that they actually, like, did some special thing to win the lottery, right?
Yes.
Like, they don't think that that was just a stupid luck thing that was funny. Like, they think that that was some special thing that they did, that they got to win the lottery like that.
Yeah. It's just, they just can't do the conventional thing. They have to do something unique, like going back to taking Dion fucking Waiters fourth overall. Like, just do the thing that makes the most sense.
Right. Just do the thing that everybody, you know, read 100 mock drafts and just pick the guy that everybody said you were going to pick.
Like, I couldn't agree more.
It just, we're like, Now we have to go through, all right, we have to wait for Beilein to get fired. And then it's just Bickerstaff right after that. And I don't know, maybe he would be like more of a normal hire. Like in a normal, if we didn't have a coach this offseason, we hired him, I think we'd all be like annoyed, but it'd be a somewhat normal hire. So maybe I shouldn't complain. Maybe that's, you know, forcing them to do what we want, but it still just feels gross.
Yeah.
Now he's going to have the stink on him anyway. And he didn't need the stink on him.
I'm trying to figure out, like, what's your minimum, like, franchise comparison, like, that you would like to get to in terms of, like, pure base competency and normalcy?
Oh, man. Like, even just being what Detroit has been the last couple of years wouldn't be the worst thing, right?
No. I think the Magic. I'd be okay being the Magic right now.
Oh, buddy. We're going to hope to be the Magic over the next, like, 10 years.
Yep. It is like, dark days.
I don't know. Because this is the thing I was kind of going through in my head. Like, okay, the Cavs are, like, a complete disaster. Okay, like, they did this Drummond thing. Like, what was the other path? Like, what were the things they could have done differently other than the stupid coaching hire?
That's where it gets really unfair to shit on them too hard. Because, like, what are you going to take Jarrett Culver, who also sucks? What are you going to take Shai Gilgeous when he wouldn't work out for you and basically did everything he could to poison the well against you drafting him?
And, like, they took on all the bad contracts to get draft assets. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the smart thing.
And then they did that,
now they had a roster of crap.
Yeah, and just as they did, took on all these bad contracts that became expirings that should have been assets, the whole league decided we don't care about expiring deals anymore because the entire league is signed to 1 or 2 year deals for either the minimum or super maxes.
Right. So now it was extremely clear that expirings had no value whatsoever this year.
Yes. So, none.
Like, there was just, like, if I had to do this all different, I'm just not sure how, you know, what major moves I would do wildly different. You know, like the Sexton pick, clearly that should have been Michael Porter Jr. or something like that. But I don't know that.
But even then, you don't know how he would work in this unhealthy ecosystem. So,
right.
Sorry, had to yawn my weekly yawn.
That's the depressing thing, because it's not just what should we have done. It's what can we do going forward? Like, what are the good things the organization can do from here?
I forget who said it, but I heard someone say on a podcast once something along the lines of, like, it's always nice to have a body to do an autopsy on. Like, autopsy reports for the Cleveland Cavaliers so far would prove inconclusive. Like, there's no data to pull. Because everything, and, like, this is where it gets weird, because I can't tell you how many reaction podcasts I've hopped on where I go, this makes sense. This is a good move. Take a flyer on Dante Exum. Sure. Hey, that's good value for Rodney Hood and George Hill. And it just doesn't feel like it's, you know, oh yeah, go ahead and take a crack at Andre Drummond. He'll help you in the short term. And he didn't give up much. And, you know, you're never signing anyone anyway, so whatever. But then the product keeps staying bad. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it's a matter of we're too prone to want a bright side transactions and then, you know, gloomy reactions to the actual on-court product. I don't know. But something's not lining up here, and I can't figure out the path forward either.
That's what scares me about the Drummond thing is, okay, I was asking a couple of people this week, you know, Chops and a couple other buddies, like, hey, how much better should the Cavs be? Like, we shouldn't get blown out by bad teams anymore. Like, should we expect them to beat bad teams? Like, when they go play the Knicks and Golden State, should we expect them to go start beating those teams? And after tonight, it's pretty hard to feel like that, but that's, like, a pretty fair expectation, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
This, like, if it's the... not, then what's wrong? Like, I just want to, like, pinpoint what's wrong. At this point, we have more real NBA players than a lot of these teams, and the results are significantly worse.
The big problem there is that they're all centers. like the least interesting position, the one most reliant on others for success, and the ones that are the most replaceable. So yeah, you can have four NBA players at the worst position, but I mean, it's a wing and guard driven league, and our wings and guards are the worst in the league.
No, that's fair. Well, luckily the next draft is all guards, so.
Yeah, great.
I actually don't know. I don't know how we get out of it this offseason. That's what's scary too.
I think there is almost a 0% chance they're meaningfully better next year.
I don't know how they could be. I don't know how.
Actually, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's wrong. If Garland gets better, that's how. That's the only route.
So what do you think Garland's ceiling? I was at the Cavs game the other night talking to some chase down Discord fellows, the Ed and Shane and some buddies. I said, you know, I could still see Garland having like a Jeff Teague type career, like that level. And they all go, ugh. And I thought, that feels pretty optimistic right now. Is that wrong?
I don't know.
Is that a good or bad outcome at this point?
I don't know. I think that's still a little too harsh. I'm still stuck on like worse athlete Kemba. Like 85% of what Kemba is seems like his absolute best case scenario. And his median, I just think his median outcome is lower than I thought it was. Like, I don't think there's any guarantee he ends up as good as a DJ Augustine right now.
Oh, I don't think there's a guarantee of anything right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's absolutely true that there is no guarantee of anything. And that's not like, and I think people will hear that and be mad at us, but like,
I feel like I'm really high on him. Like, I feel like you give him an off season to just work out the whole time to get his shot right. He's, you know, figure out NBA length. And I think he can come back and be much, much, much better.
See, this is where we disagree though, is because I don't think my idea of his ceiling has dropped that much, because the whole thing is predicated on him being an elite shooter, and he's not even close to that right now. So if he gets there, then everything just looks so different.
Yeah, and, you know, the floater is super promising. That floater is going in a lot anymore. I say that. I haven't looked at numbers, but it feels like it goes in. Like, when he takes it, I feel confident about it. And so it does give him something around the rim, but he doesn't get to the rim a lot. He never gets to the free throw line. Like, that kind of little stuff is what scares me. He doesn't have huge assist games. Now, I'm excited that he's getting 4, 5, 6 assists a game, but he's not like he's flying all over creating a ton of looks. So that's the kind of stuff where, like, okay, his three goes in, all that stuff can get, you know, some percentage better, but what's that percentage and where does that take him? And I'm just not sold that it's super high anymore.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think he has to become a 40% three-point shooter.
And I think he can. I don't think.
But if he does that, then if you're a 40% three-point shooter with volume, people are falling over themselves trying to close out on you, and he does not have that benefit. There is a play where Lou Williams was hanging 8 feet off him from three when he had the ball and paid no penalty for it.
I don't know what happened to his shot.
He just doesn't have any legs under it right now. I think he's genuinely – that's why I'm so hesitant to draw much from this stretch. It's just like he's just seems so tired.
Can we talk about something like happy? Like, how good is Kevin Porter Jr.?
I mean, I just wonder if like – and speaking of classic Justin Rowan gambits, is swap out a negative for a positive. Just like – I just wonder, is there going to be a point in this season that the Cavs stop caring more about Darius Garland's development than Kevin Porter's development?
If you had to, like, I think I'm ready to say that KPJ's our most interesting prospect right now. Maybe that's not fair. What do you think KPJ's maybe ceiling and his median outcome is?
I don't know. Ceiling feels DeRozan-y.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't really know what his ceiling is, but a volume moderately inefficient, but can get to, you know, can do stuff to get there. His willingness to shoot threes, I think, is encouraging. I think his defensive instincts on occasion are encouraging. I don't know. I think his median outcome, like a whatever a guard version of a Morris Twin is. Am I off here?
I was trying to be so optimistic.
That's not that negative.
I was trying to find some reason.
That's not that negative. I don't think that's fair. I mean, Marcus Morris was probably the most valued asset at the deadline somehow.
True. You're shitting all over that. Here's what I'll say. I think Garland's ceiling is still definitely higher. I have more faith that Porter is going to turn into like a real NBA player.
God, I'm trying to think of who's a good volume scoring 2-3 guard right now that isn't like a game changer. Feels like a lot of these guys have been really wiped out of the league, you know? Like, how many Jordan Clarksons are there left?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, a lot of them are the McCollum Levine kind of guys, right?
And I don't think that's his game at all.
No. That's more like shooting and creating. Like, I think he's more, yeah, I don't know.
Like, this archetype is not super common in the league right now. And I'm struggling. The outside of superstars.
Yeah, I think DeRozan's probably going. Because DeRozan has a little bit of bounce, right?
DeRozan was a dunk contest guy for a while.
But DeRozan with, like, some defensive instincts is pretty damn good.
Yep, 100%. So, I mean, I really like him. I just wonder if there's going to be a stretch where they start caring. And when I ask, the reason I ask that is, like, it's really easy to bench Garland for Porter if you get to tell yourself, we're doing this for Porter, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. But I do think that he has a good chance is he starting for them next season?
Do you think they give up on they just need some excuse to bench Sexton, right? It just feels like everything makes a little bit more sense if he's just running the bench unit and scoring a ton off the bench and keeping that unit afloat.
But as Justin said a billion times, no one's given them that excuse yet because Garland's been too bad.
And like everyone else has the flu or twists an ankle or something, and Sexton never figures that out. And I feel like people think that like I'm negative on Sexton for saying that. I just think it works for him and the team really well if he is just going out with that second unit and just scoring a ton instead of looking off, you know, guys who want their touches.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think the biggest bummer is that I haven't figured out what the road forward is. I'd love to have a bunch of strong takes on how to fix them, but they're at such ground zero that it's hard to even see a path forward in the short term.
I do think the one saving grace, although it's bad because it doesn't look like this draft has many, is I do think if you plopped in a guy like a really good prospect, you know, a guy who was clearly somebody to invest in and to build around, all this stuff starts to make a lot more sense.
Yep. That is really the reality, is they're just a team without a future right now. And the present isn't good enough to get them there.
No.
But all these pieces that we kind of need to show something close to star potential, kind of stop needing to show that if you just land one.
Right.
So
that's all they need to do. Just go do that, guys.
Yeah, just go get a star. Anyway, on that note, I think we should go ahead and wrap it up so I can get this thing edited and put my daughter to bed. Thank you so much for joining the pod, Jeff. Please follow Jeff at SportsNom on Twitter, and please support the Chase Down pod by subscribing, unsubscribing, resubscribing, cooking those books. Support our sponsors at betonline.ag and Untuck It. And hell, buy a Sex Slant t-shirt. Those are going to be a real fucking commodity down the line. So thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Cavs.